to Sexy Body, Saucy Soul, where women get empowered to ask for and receive what they truly want in love, life, and business. And where we bring you conversations with inspiring women and men who share their juicy tips and secrets to how they created their own version of success. And today, I am so thrilled to welcome my friend, Marina Catala.
Hello, a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let me just tell you a little bit about why I invited Marina to have this chat with me today. So Marina has always loved visually telling stories, and she was devoted to her academic career and her study of filmmaking. She received her bachelor's degree in motion picture production from University of Miami and then traveled all the way across the country to get her master's of fine arts in film editing from American Film Institute Conservatory in Los Angeles. And then after graduating in 2003, that's like 10 years ago. She found work in a booming reality TV industry. I just connected, like, 2003. Like, when was the last, like, the whole boom of reality TV and what was happening in our society? It's kind of interesting. So at that time, she found her work in a TV industry in an unscripted reality TV. And she spent the last 10 years telling stories. She's worked on The Biggest Loser, The Amazing Race, Beauty and the Geek, Impractical Jokers, and I'm so super excited to learn about her latest baby, Best Funeral Ever. Can't wait to talk about it.
Absolutely. It's an interesting one.
I bet. Just the title alone is like, what is that about? But I wanted to start with just you. Just tell us about you. And let me just start with this. I think it's such a gift to know from when you're very little, to know that you love to tell stories. Just anchor in something and say, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. I mean, I consider it a true calling. When I think about, or when I tell people what my childhood was like, I tell them, I watched TV. You know, while other kids were out playing and doing, you know, sports, all I ever wanted to do was just be in front of the television and just absorb stories and television shows and movies. And I actually abandoned cartoons really at a very young age. I remember being 4 or 5 years old and watching scripted dramas with my mom, like Scarecrow and Mrs. King and The Greatest American Hero and Heart to Heart and just, you know, really adult dramas. Mm-hmm. I mean, L.A. Law, things like that. And at 4 or 5 years old, I think that's a pretty strange thing. There was just something about characters and the relationships between characters that just enthralled me and continues to this day.
Yeah, and it shows in your work.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, just the shows you've worked on, they're definitely everybody, even people who don't watch TV, are familiar with those shows. And so you climbed the ladder pretty quickly.
I did. I was fortunate that, I set out to continue to make scripted television. That was always my objective. But straight out of grad school, reality TV was booming. And for someone who was fresh out of film school and had some student loans to pay back, it was what was available to somebody who was young and hungry and inexperienced who wanted to tell stories. And because I was an editor, the very nature of reality TV is it's a lot more like documentary, where the production team sets out and they shoot hundreds of hours of footage. Mm-hmm. And it's up to someone to sort of watch all of that and sort through it and figure out what the story is and what's the most compelling story to tell in a very clear and concise manner.
Yeah.
And I can sit and watch hours and hours of footage happily.
It's amazing because when we first met a few years ago, and I was just diving into it right away, but I know there are a lot of people like me who kind of have this sense about TV, right? And we're so almost against it because of so much that happens on it.
Sure.
And especially reality TV. And I'm sorry to like put you on a hot spot.
Please. I'm very familiar with this conversation.
I know. But I think it's fascinating because I remember you completely shifting my perception of what happens at reality TV and how it really serves people. Mm-hmm. And why you are still in it and why you choose to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the biggest problems with reality TV is, well, number one, what gets the most attention are the fights, the shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Jersey Shore. It's silly, drunk people peeing on the floor and sleeping with whomever and having cat fights and things like that. But what people don't realize is that the vast majority of television now actually is I prefer to call it unscripted television, because reality, I think, is a misnomer. Mm-hmm. I think it implies that what we're actually telling people is the truth. And really, the responsibility of reality television, like any other television, is to entertain. It's an advertiser supported medium. So, you know, we're creating content that is entertaining and is going to keep people tuned so that you're staying tuned for the commercials that are coming in between. That's the network objective. But my objective is to still tell interesting stories, especially about subcultures. That's what I tend to gravitate towards. Mm. Just little pockets of American culture that you never would have been exposed to otherwise, but that are still worth telling. You know, that there's interesting, compelling stories there because everyone has a story.
Oh, sure.
So that's what I gravitate towards.
Yeah, I remember you sharing with us your experience with, was it Inked? No, which?
With Ink Master.
Ink Master. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a really fascinating series in the sense that, you know, I have no tattoos. I have no aspirations of getting any tattoos, but learning in doing the show, I learned about the history of tattoo. And for 10,000 years, humans have been getting tattoos. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's rooted in tribal identification, or, you know, just sort of a boy becoming a man. I mean, there's just all of these traditions and so many different forms within it. And the artistry associated with it was really something that struck me. I mean, the people who do it are truly, truly gifted. It's mm-hmm. just a different way to look at things. And that's what I love so much about what I do, is it's by pointing a lens, there's a point of view, there's a whole new perspective on something that you wouldn't have normally really thought to tell a story about.
Yeah. And you really get to choose how the story gets told.
I do. That is one of the benefits of well, my background is as an editor. Now I'm a supervising producer. So I oversee the storytelling of all of the episodes in the series. And that's exactly that. I sort through the footage and see what storylines emerge, because just in shooting so much footage, naturally there's things that, you know, will never make TV for multiple reasons, whether it's not that compelling, or there's legal aspects associated with it, or there's just not enough time for it in the show. But really, I think I, like anyone else who's watching TV, you respond to the thing that just, for whatever reason, intrigues you or makes you smile or makes you cry, because you recognize genuine human emotion, genuine emotional truth in what's happening. And that's really what we put on screen.
Yeah. So in between all those commercial grabbing scenes, there is the human factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that depending on what show you're working on, because that's one of the things about reality TV. People don't realize how many different subgenres there are within that. Because, yeah, you have the docu-soaps, which would be like the Real Housewives of whatever city. Those are the docu-soaps. But there's reality competition shows, you know, there's cooking shows, there's history shows. I mean, all of those are technically reality shows, you know, learning how things work, or, you know, Mythbusters, or, you know, flipping a house, or all of those things that aren't salacious. You know, it's not catfighting, but those all technically are reality TV. People just assume, or I think they just associate reality TV with what gets the most press, what shows up in People magazine.
Yes.
It's the Kardashians.
I did not even, because you're right, reality TV has become like the phrase around those shows.
Exactly.
On primetime TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's why I prefer to call it unscripted television, because we go out with, I mean, because it's all reality TV is still produced like anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you go out with an idea in mind of what the show is, but for the most part, I think good producers know when to back away and let things unfold naturally, because I think intuitively we all know when something is authentic, when someone is being sincere, and you know when someone's just acting, because most reality people who are on reality TV are not very good actors. And so when they're acting for the camera, hamming it up, when they've decided what persona they want to be, it comes through on camera. And I've always said in reality TV, you know, because we're taking a sliver of who this person is, you know, if you shoot 100 hours, I mean, you're really only seeing at most 42 minutes if it's an hour long series, or 21 minutes of who this person is. And so everything is heightened. And so I always say we make good people look better and bad people look worse. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the reason why I thought you would be an amazing person to speak with among this vast information about TV, which I find fascinating.
I appreciate that.
I love about what you do. I just do. But you've also, and we've had many conversations about it, you followed something deep within you, your divine, your connection to what is true for you. And I think it's so amazing in an industry that really is driven by kind of the outside factors, right? There is, to me at least, there isn't too much space to really just do what you feel is right and still be so successful.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting industry because so much of it is, as we've talked about, it's an advertiser-supported medium. And so, you know, in a very cynical way, you can say that what I do for a living is just create content between a Toyota commercial and a Tide commercial. Mm-hmm. Like that can be a very cynical way to look about it. I prefer to think of what I do as telling stories because I think we all love stories because we want to know that we're not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, that we are all walking this earth and all fighting a fight. Mm-hmm. And actually our fights are, you know, not, when I say the word fight, I don't mean, you know, in a negative way, but that we're all being challenged and right. We're all overcoming challenges. And so I have always strived to do that with integrity and with real sincerity. And even though the money aspect is probably the biggest obstacle, you know, whereas, you know, when I'm telling these stories, you know, you give it to the network and they look at it and they think, oh, well, maybe that's not a really good choice. Can we create more conflict? Can we put in a fight? Mm-hmm. Can we add more tears just to hook an audience? And, you know, I accept that you have to serve your master to a certain degree, right? I mean, right. They're the ones who are paying the bills. Mm-hmm. And, paying my, you know, signing my paycheck. So to serve that, but at the same time, do it with authenticity, to still with regard to who these characters are and who these stories are, and to still, yeah. Did I answer the question? I'm not really sure that I did.
You did answer part of it.
Yeah.
You did. You answered your role within it. But what I'm really interested in is, and we can probably explore it a little deeper when we come back, but it's really, when we first met, you just journeyed all the way from West Coast where TV happens, right?
Right.
That's where TV is happening. You were in the middle of it and you were positioned for a certain path,
mm-hmm.
which would be amazing mm-hmm. in its own way. But then one day you wake up and you make a choice
yeah.
and you say, this is not working for me because my life, you almost lost yourself, right?
Right. No, that's yeah. absolutely true. You know, just in living in Los Angeles and devoting my career to television, it's very easy to get lost in that. And it's because it's a very competitive city where, you know, you're surrounded by people who are clamoring to have your job mm-hmm. and that position. You feel the need to just lose yourself in it, or at least it's reinforced that those who lose themselves in it are the ones who are rewarded. That's at least the perception. And in doing so, you can just, I think, lose touch with why you really got into the industry in the first place. That it's yeah. not so much why am I telling stories so much as I have to tell stories, because if I don't tell stories, then,
yeah.
well, you know, who am I? What am I going to do? I mean, it's just sort of where...
It's coming from a place of that of fear almost, right?
That's yeah. exactly right.
So when we come back, I would love for you to explore a little bit more of that.
Happy
because
to.
I know a lot of us make choices from that place and
always
want to
yeah.
learn. So if you have mm-hmm. any questions for Marina, call us at 877-480-4120 and we'll be right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you need a business plan that can guide your company's growth? Covenant 7 will help bring the changes you need. We are small business consultants and we pay attention to the details you may miss. Our coaching and consulting services are guaranteed to lead to right growth for your business. Call us at 917-833-4860 for a no obligation free consultation. Check out our website at www.covenant7.com.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your neo-sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
When I'm blowing out the candles and when people start to sing, I will always cross my fingers tight. I'll remember everything.
Welcome back to Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, and we are talking to Marina Catala. And this was just perfectly timed. Thank you, Sam. This was a special choice for Marina.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's Brandy Carlisle.
Yeah, we love Brandy.
We do.
Yeah. And just where the song ended was perfect too, right? When I'm blowing off my candle, it's awesome. So before we went to the break, we spoke a little bit about you making choices and going through some pain. And I'd love to for you to just get a little deeper with us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. When I got to New York 2 years ago, after a year and a half in L.A. where I just lived and breathed my job. You know, I was working 100 hours a week, 7 days a week, and I had just thrown myself into it. Because, you know, there was this sort of this desire to succeed, to sort of rise from where I was. You know, I was an editor and I wanted to become a supervising producer because it's an industry very much, as much as I love storytelling, it's an industry of titles. You know, it's an industry where you think you have, you're never good enough where you are. You can never just sort of find happiness there, or at least that's the perception, or I think by and large, it's a very competitive, I mean, like all industries, but you know, it's like, what's the next step? What's the next show? What's the next project? And you know, sort of that carrot dangling in front of me, I went for, and I felt like I had to throw myself into it. And I did that. But in doing so, I lost my sense of self. In doing so, all I did was spend hours in my office, cut off from everyone. I stopped seeing my friends. I wasn't dating. I stopped exploring Los Angeles, just in this pursuit of what? A better title, more money, you know? And one day I finally woke up. I remember, I was with my coworker and she was sitting behind me. And at one point I just broke down on my desk and I said, I don't even know who I am anymore. And a month and a half later, I was in New York City. I just knew that I needed to break this pattern.
Wow.
To make a change. And so I did. I just made up my mind. I didn't care what job I got. I took the first thing that was available to me. I took a pay cut. I took a step down in title. I just did it because I knew I was tired of living the life that I was living. And so I took a leap of faith, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
Wow. So would you mind sharing just one tip? Because we are all about, on this show, empowering women to follow what they truly, truly want deeply inside of them and becoming success, whatever their version is. So in that moment when you made a choice and you fell down on a desk and started crying,
did.
What's like one tip, the one thing you can share that would help somebody that gets to that place to kind of get, if there even is a tip, to kind of get clear and say, okay, this is the moment. And was there a clear decision of what's going to happen for you? Like, how did New York come about?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like on some level I had been manifesting New York City my entire life. But, you know, growing up always loving film and television and, you know, going to school in LA and knowing that that reality TV and all television is in LA, I was like, okay, well, I guess this is it. And I remember that when I first moved to LA, I was like, I guess I don't love it. It doesn't really speak to me, but that's fine. And, you know, in that last year and a half when I was working all of those insane hours, you know, sometimes I would just sort of take a sanity break. And by sanity break, I just mean like surf the internet. Mm-hmm. And in the last 6 months, I would just look at maps of the boroughs of New York City. And I would just, and I would look at Manhattan and just read the names of the neighborhoods. Just, it was nice to daydream.
Yeah. It's my own and manifesting,
then,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And then one day I decided I don't want to daydream about it anymore. I want to make it my own. And I think maybe to give a tip, I would say that any daydream, any inkling that you've ever had is, I think, your intuition speaking to you. I think it's your subconscious. I think it's your higher self. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, it was 3,000 miles away. Yeah. I didn't have a job. I knew two people here. One girl I had grown up with and hadn't been in touch with in 10 years, and another girl I had gone to college with, and she was an acquaintance. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know anything about New York, but there was just something about it that called to me, and I just decided now. Because all I have is now.
Yes.
And the now that I was living there, I was miserable. I was sad and depressed. And for someone who had always dreamt of her career and that's all that I had ever wanted, I realized that's not where happiness is, you know? And in a lot of ways, I was using my career at that moment to fill a void created by another person. And you know, I thought that she was going to make me happy, and she didn't. And then I thought throwing myself into my job was going to make me happy, and it didn't. And so I decided to start looking within myself and figure out what I'd always dreamt of and what I really wanted. And so deciding that I wanted it now. So I guess my tip is look within yourself, even if it's as far-fetched as possible, as you might, it's not even as far-fetched as possible, as far-fetched as you may think. Go after it. Seek your bliss now. Don't wait. Don't make excuses.
That's amazing.
I wrapped my show and 10 days later I was in New York City.
Wow.
I just decided now
that it's the time.
Yeah.
So just share what happened since then, because you're, like you said, it's been a lot better for your career.
It was amazing. You know, so many people ask me, you know, oh, what brought you to New York? Job? And no, it was self-preservation. And in an amazing turn of events, it was actually the best decision I could have ever made for myself professionally, because reality TV is beginning to boom in New York City. There's a lot of production companies and a lot of shows coming to New York. And I came to New York with credits that no one else had in New York City, because I'd worked on The Biggest Loser, The Amazing Race. I had a reputable resume. And so in the pursuit of my bliss and the pursuit of balance and personal health and happiness, I've manifested a wonderful career in which I have exactly that. I have the title that I want, but I get to work with wonderful people, and I'm not doing 100 hours a week anymore.
Yeah. So the self-preservation that you mentioned before is really truly the self, the higher self, right? Preservation.
Absolutely.
And not the self-preservation that some people might still think of, or it's, you know, getting, just preserving in a very materialistic kind of way. For you, it was that higher self-preservation.
It was higher. It was happiness.
Yeah. Happiness.
Yeah, the pursuit of happiness, but realizing that happiness exists only within me, not in a job or in a relationship. Just within myself.
Yeah. And then everything else shows up, right?
Indeed it did.
Yeah.
Indeed it did. And continues to every day.
Yeah. Just recently, I mean, the project you're working on right now was really a result of manifestation.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Very conscious. Very much so. I'm currently doing a show, a new show for TLC that premieres in September called Best Funeral Ever. And, I know the title, you know, you might roll your eyes because it seems somehow, again, salacious, but it's a really interesting show in that it focuses on the Golden Gate Funeral Home in Dallas, Texas, and they specialize in what they call homegoing celebrations. And this is actually rooted in African American culture. It goes back, actually all the way to Africa. Countries like Ghana and Rwanda, they still throw huge parties for the deceased instead of the more traditional, I think, you know, Judeo-Christian funerals that we're familiar with, yes, that are very somber,
yeah,
solemn, mm-hmm, occasions.
Goodbyes versus,
they're goodbye,
welcomes, right?
Well, it meaning that they're sending them home to their maker.
Right,
you know,
right.
And so that's a wonderful, wonderful celebration. And so they just throw these wonderful parties that are really symbolic of who this person was and what their life was and what they loved. And it's a big party. And so I love the fact that we've been able to put a lens on that, you know, and show that death is not something to really be sad over. You know, we can, yeah, celebrate who this person was and what they brought into our lives. And, you know, there's a place for tears, but there's a place for joy as well.
I cannot wait to see it because it sounds so, I love the title, first of all.
Do you? Okay, good.
Really, yeah, I really do because you're right. There is just such a connotation around funerals,
right,
and death. And I think we can all use a little bit of a shift in that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely shaped my perception of death in general. You know, I was on location in Texas for a few weeks and I had never seen a dead body before. And it really, it shaped my perception of what death is, that it isn't, I think I'd spoken to you a little bit about it. It was, mm-hmm, a really amazing experience to see a dead body because I realized whatever that essence, that divinity, that soul, whatever you want to call, mm-hmm, it, that's within us, it really is past. And then it's just a body. It's just a vessel.
Yeah.
And okay. And there's peace there somehow. There really isn't, I didn't feel sadness, you know, it, mm-hmm, was a really interesting experience. And then just sort of seeing the way these people celebrate, it validates life even more for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really wonderful experience. And I hope that this series gets people thinking about not their own mortality so much as how they want their loved ones to remember them, you know, and celebrate them.
So really focus. I mean, there's this a lot of talk about how do you want to spend your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really from a place of how do you want your people around you to see you, right?
Right.
How do you want to show up?
Yeah. And I think more than anything, you know, funerals are less for the dead than they are for the living.
Yes.
Just making that transition, mm-hmm, to, okay, this person has passed and they were a significant person in my life. And is that a cause for sadness or is it a cause for celebration that I had such a wonderful mother,
mm-hmm,
or an amazing husband, mm-hmm, or a beautiful daughter, and this is who they were?
So a place of gratitude, right?
A place of gratitude. That's exactly what it is.
How? I know.
I just got chills. That's exactly right. That's, I think, the perfect word.
Yeah.
Gratitude that we got to walk this earth together for a little while.
Wow. So when we come back, I would love to get into a little bit, if that being on that show and seeing what you've seen, if that shifted your focus even more on what do you want out of your life and,
mm,
how and what happens to your career and your life and the balance as,
absolutely,
a result of it.
Okay, yeah,
that'd be
sounds
awesome.
Sounds good.
Great. So today we're talking to Marina Catala. She is a very accomplished reality TV editor. Oh, no, actually now you are...
A producer.
You are a producer.
I
wow,
am.
Yes. Let me call you by the proper title.
No, that's quite all right.
Very important. We'll be right back. And if you have any questions for Marina, call us at 877-480-4120.
You are listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey. Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music Power Hour. At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Sexy Body Sassy Soul, and today we're talking to Marina Català, who is a producer in reality TV. And right before we left, we started talking about your latest show, The Best Funeral Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to be airing on TLC.
TLC, right? In September.
September, awesome. Just perfect time for funerals, I think. Shows about funerals. If there is such a thing.
I know, I'm like, interesting.
Well, with the fall and, you know.
Absolutely, no.
Nature,
the change of season. Absolutely, yeah. The passing.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
that something always somehow makes sense in my head.
I would hope so.
So before we parted for the commercial, we spoke a little bit about the show and your role in it. So being so close, and now on a break, we actually spoke a little more. Mm-hmm. You're so close to people who are saying goodbye in our own way to the experience they had with their loved ones. Has it done anything for you to shift your purpose here, how you view your career and what you do every day?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, just being that much more exposed to death, you know. And actually very recently I had a visit with my mother, and, you know, I see my mother, my parents live abroad. They're in the Foreign Service. And so I see my parents, you know, once a year now, and they're aging that much more rapidly. And so realizing just how little time we actually do have, or do we have the perfect amount of time? I don't know. I have that conversation in my head, on a regular basis. Either way, our time is limited.
Right.
At least in this lifetime. And so it's made me realize, because there's still the same temptations, even mm-hmm. in New York City, you know, working in the industry, to pull as many hours,
right.
you know, as, yeah, because production companies are happy to take as many hours as right. you're willing to put in. But for me to maintain the balance,
right.
Mm-hmm. Because I think as a balanced individual, someone who has a personal life and friends and adventures and family and all of those things, I think it makes me a better storyteller. Mm. I think it makes me more empathetic. I think it makes me more sympathetic. And so when I feel myself getting pulled into the, oh, I should really work this weekend, or, oh, you know, it's 10 o'clock and I've been here for 12 hours. Should I be here another couple? Mm-hmm. You know, I think to myself, no. Because it's true. You know, I've talking to family members who, you know, are just dealing with the loss of a loved one. It's true what they say, that no one ever says on their deathbed that they wish they worked more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And because you did, just to go back to that, you did move, I mean, across the country all the mm-hmm. way twice, right? Just to get more clarity and keep preserve yourself.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But you're still in the same industry, right? So
exactly.
The temptation could still exist.
Absolutely. It's yeah. there every day.
So it's a choice. Is it a constant choice?
It's a constant choice. That's exactly, I think that's the perfect word yeah. to describe it. It's a choice to maintain balance, not only for my own health and happiness, but honestly, for the sake of my abilities as a storyteller. Mm. You know, I mean, I think that when you are burned into the ground, you lose perspective. I think you lose touch with, not to say that you lose touch with emotion, but I know that I think you become less empathetic. I think you need to have outside experiences, and I think you need to meet other people and, you know, just have human contact to remind yourself of the human stories that you're telling.
Mm,
otherwise, it becomes a very myopic, I think, life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when you were choosing the project you're working on right now, mm-hmm. Best Funeral Ever, I know there was a series of choices that happened for you, right?
That's correct. I started this show in late March, but I had three other offers on the table. Mm-hmm. And I... You know, I'm fortunate enough that at this point in my career, I have multiple offers. So first of all, I certainly am very, very grateful for that. But I do try and gravitate towards shows that I feel are examples of the human experience and are not exploitive. Mm-hmm. I had an offer for, I won't say the name of the show, but it was just this trophy wife for a governor. You know what I mean? And just sort of, that was sort of like a docu-soap experience. And then, you know, I could have done an Alaska show, and that's fine. They all have their place. You know, I don't mean to say that with mm-hmm. any disdain. I was much more interested in exploring death, and not necessarily death in a morbid way, but just death in terms of it being a fact of life and something that I really hadn't ever considered before. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been fortunate to not really have anyone close to me who's ever passed away. And so I was interested in exploring that and helping America explore that as well.
Mm. So I definitely want to go back to the show in a little bit, but because I have so many questions about it. It's so fascinating.
Please, happy to answer.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
But I know that in one of our conversations, we spoke about you actually making conscious choices of projects in between that you were taking to get you to not necessarily this project in the subject matter, but because of you knew where your career, where you wanted to take your career, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because being in a position that you are in, you're still technically self-employed, right?
You
it's a business.
Technically, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm an independent contractor.
Yep. So you constantly have to make those choices. What will make your business work? Mm-hmm. How would it work for you?
Absolutely.
So can you share anything that you do when you make those choices, when you actually decide, okay, I'm going to take this particular project, not from a subject matter, but because it's going to take me to this place?
That's an interesting question. I mean, it's like, yeah, I've always strategized. Well, you know, I'm always interested in growth. I'm always interested in the next show not only being of an interesting subject matter, but are there new skills and new opportunities? Am I going to grow in some regard? Am I going to be challenged? Because I'm really uninterested in complacency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really uninterested in the familiar. I'm always terrified every time I start a new show.
Mm-hmm.
I always, you know, I always equate it to jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. But sure enough, 2 or 3 weeks in, you find the ripcord. You know, you have that moment of fear. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I know that I have credits, but I don't know what I'm doing. But you just hit play. That's sort of how it works for me and the footage. I just hit play and it just starts speaking to me. And I just start trusting my sensibilities and trust that I've been hired for my sensibilities, and that my sensibilities are representative of what people want to see.
Wow.
And to continue to trust that. And so that's, I think, my biggest piece of advice is go towards that which scares you, because that's where the growth is.
And then push play.
Isn't that a wonderful set? I never thought about that. Just go with it. Hit play, whatever your play is.
Yeah. I'm so using it somewhere.
I love that. Just push play. Maybe that should be the new... That might be the name of my next production company. Push Play Productions. It's kind of catchy.
We can talk about the rights too.
Touche.
That's so awesome. So let's share a little bit with us. We on the break, we spoke about the angle that you take on the show, mm-hmm. and it's actually about the employees.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like you hear that there's these homegoing celebrations, and so naturally I think you think about the family who's requested it and how they're experiencing it. But really, it does focus on the Golden Gate Funeral Home employees who are responsible for putting on these homegoing celebrations, and they're a really interesting cast of people who are really devoted to this work. I mean, they all genuinely believe that helping people through this really difficult time in their lives is a calling. You know, they really, and so much of what we document is, you know, because what's asked of them sometimes may be seemingly preposterous, mm-hmm. you know, what the family requests are, but it's done because the family has requested it. It's what they want. I think I was telling you during the break that mm-hmm. one of the episodes that we're working on right now, the woman who had passed away had always wanted to go to Hawaii, and her son was going to take her there, but she fell ill and wasn't able to go. Mm-hmm. And so what they decided to do was do a homegoing celebration that was Hawaiian themed. You know, they found a place by a lake, and they put on an amazing luau, and, you know, the employees, they danced. They were in the saris and yeah. the grass skirts and everything like that. And they wrote songs, original uh-huh. Hawaiian themed songs for them, and created a dance. And, you know, they got the flame twirlers and everything like that. You wow. know, one of the employees spit fire, and just to create this very, very authentic Hawaiian experience.
So do they seek out people who can fulfill certain roles if there are specific wishes, or do they just kind of get into the role?
They just get into the role.
Wow.
Yeah, they take on any role that is
asked of them
for the most part. I mean, obviously, you know, within their means. Another episode that we're working on, the man who passed away, he loved game shows. Wheel of Fortune was his favorite show. He just loved game shows, and so we put on a game show. And so the trivia the family members got to, you know, ring in and buzzers, and the questions were about the man who had passed away. But the employees of Golden Gate, they one of them, he was like the host of the show.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, we had like presenters presenting the prize, and those were employees. And then you spin the casket, and
you spin the casket.
Yeah,
that's so
and it lands on Salvation.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were different, you know, because it was a wheel, right? Because he loved right. Wheel of Fortune. So built the set and had a whole game show that honored his memory. Complete. They wrote a theme song for him, a jingle. Yeah.
That is so unconventional, and it requires such a shift in perception, right?
It really.
A complete shift in perception.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And really ability for people who watch it to open their minds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's incredible just how creative these people are. And but again, it's all to serve the family. And that's why when they say that it is a calling to help those who are in mourning,
yeah.
I absolutely believe that to be the truth, because I don't think not everybody could do it.
Can do it. Right. Yeah. That's the question I ask myself when I go to funerals. How does one choose to? Mm-hmm. I mean, some people just, it's a family business, but that, and you explained it to me, so actually people believe that it's their calling to
Absolutely.
Be in that place.
Yep.
You have actually chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think death is hidden from us mm-hmm. socially.
Yes.
I mean, I can only speak to American culture, but that's my feeling. And so yeah. there are people who naturally, you know,
yeah.
want to help those who are in that very difficult stage mm-hmm. in their life.
So I am going to ask you, if I can ask you when we come back from the break, were you present to any of the conversations about having to show even air, because it is so very unconventional, and about topic that's so, I think it's very sensitive topic in mm-hmm. our society.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can share it, but if you can, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be right back. And if you have any questions for Marina Katala, call us at 877-480-4120. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Sexy Body, Sassy Soul with my sexy, sassy guest today, Marina Catala.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. I would say the same about you.
Thank you. And we are at the home stretch of a very exciting interview. Thank you so much for chatting about it.
Absolutely. I can't believe how fast it's gone.
I know. So, before we went to break, I asked you if there is anything you could share about somebody deciding to take a leap of faith on something that's so unconventional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way the show worked was my production company, Park Slope Productions, they had discovered Golden Gate Funeral Home, and they actually sent a camera crew down there, and they shot several homegoings, actually. And they put together a pilot, a one-hour special that aired on TLC in early January. Mm-hmm. And it actually did quite well numbers wise, but a lot of it was because it got a lot of negative press, actually. You know, it was sort of touted as the new low of reality TV.
Wow.
But that was before anybody saw it. You know, again, it was based on the title. What people had what the assumption was of what the show was going to be. But the people who actually did watch it responded really positively, and TLC decided to pick up make it go to series. So they picked up 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm working on right now. 8 half hour episodes.
I'm definitely going to be watching that.
I appreciate that. I hope a lot of people do.
Yeah. So TLC in September.
TLC in September. Yes. September 17th, I believe, is our premiere date.
Cool. Very cool. So with shows like that coming up, can we talk about risk taking? Well, you've taken a risk to come to New York, and you've worked on so many shows that were kind of, they changed the way reality TV works. The Biggest Loser was one of them, right? To expose so much about just human potential. And this show now, too. Can you talk about your perception of risk, like how you deal with risk taking in your life? And then about TV in general. Like, where is reality TV going with?
Yeah.
The way you see it.
So I'm sorry. So risk taking, just in terms of my own life, just as far as taking leaps of faith,
and
you know. Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about how, just in terms of when I'm deciding on a show, I'm very uninterested in doing something that I've done already. Mm-hmm. That there's a desire to do that, but I would say that I apply that same philosophy to every aspect of my life. It's, you know, whether it's this morning at the gym, I don't put the same weights that I did last week. I put on, you know, I'm 5 pounds heavier or 10 pounds heavier or whatever it is, just pushing yourself that much further. Or whether it's conversation with friends, you know what I mean? It's if I'm hearing something from a friend that I'm concerned of. I don't mince words for the sake of awkwardness or anything like that. I'm much more interested in pushing the envelope. I guess I'm just much more interested in doing and saying and pushing the envelope, and not in a harsh, dismissive way, but just for the sake of growth, whether it be my personal growth or your personal growth. Just, so I don't know if that's risk taking. I mean, I guess it's a risk just because of, you know, I think we all have a fear of what are people going to think of us.
Oh, sure. Of course.
You know, and I do feel that just even with what I do professionally, because a lot of people have, again, those, not those misconceptions, because whatever your perception of reality TV is your own, and certainly you're entitled to it. But, oh, what is somebody going to think about me when I tell them what I do? You know, there are times I do feel reluctance, especially in New York City, where so many people you meet are like, ugh, I don't own a TV, or I don't even have cable. And you're just like, okay, well, all right. But I mean, I've definitely been challenged that, you know, that I'm partly responsible for the degradation of American society. And so there are sometimes those moments of reluctance to tell people what I do. But then I think I have nothing to apologize for. Mm. What I do with as much integrity as I possess. And yeah.
So is staying authentic to what you know about yourself and what you've chosen, how you've chosen to contribute in this experience?
Yeah.
Is that what guides you? Is that?
I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think it's always what feels authentic and genuine to me. Always ask myself, what has integrity for me? And then I do that. I've always said that, you know, when one bases his life in principle, 99% of his decisions are already made.
Huh. I'm going to quote it somewhere.
I forget who actually said it, but I quote it to myself on a regular basis. I base my life in principle.
Wow. Yeah, I talk, lately I've been talking about this whole thing about looking at your life and having a North Star.
Mm.
A place where you know you want to look towards all the time.
Absolutely.
And then when you're there, right, when you focus there, your decisions are already made.
That's exactly it. You know, and that's always, to me, it's like the question is, what has integrity for me? Okay. And the decision's already made.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where do you think reality TV is going?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I think a very complicated one, because it's like, where's TV going in general? I think we're seeing network television as, you know, meaning network television being NBC, ABC, CBS, I guess even Fox. Those numbers are dwindling, and by and large, they're becoming increasingly more reality TV based. And while we're seeing tremendous strides being taken in scripted television, it's happening on HBO, it's happening on AMC, it's happening on other networks. And so number one, we're just seeing TV audiences dwindle. Once upon a time, you know, 72 million Americans tuned in for the series finale of MASH. Now you can't even get those numbers for the Super Bowl. You know, a hit on cable television is considered 1 million viewers. Mm. You have a hit show, if it's a 1 million viewers, and that's such a drop. It's such a drop. Exactly that. I mean, so I think we're really seeing television go obviously towards the internet. I mean, with the success of what Netflix is doing now, they're creating their own original programming. Hulu, I know that Amazon is investing in creating their own original programming. So I think television is going to become your computer.
Yeah.
For one, and I think it's going to become more a la carte programming. I think you are just going to have to sort of find your niche, I don't think networks are going to exist in the traditional sense. I think they're going to be they're going to look a lot more like Netflix and Hulu, that it's just on demand. Yeah. And so you're going to have, you know, your choice of documentary series, you're going to have your choice of movies, you're going to have some, you know, reality series, but I don't think that reality will be in as much abundance as it is now, just because there's so many channels and so many hours of programming to fill. Yeah. I think when sort of TV goes away, I think that'll sort of change. There'll be fewer websites that have as many reality shows.
So as we part, where do you see yourself and your passion for storytelling when all that happens?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, and something that I ask myself on a regular basis. You know, it's interesting because in my childhood, I always dreamt of telling scripted stories. You know, those were always, you know, characters and the relationships between characters, and all fictional. And it's interesting. I don't know if it's a matter of my having gotten older or having worked in reality TV. So now I find real people a lot more intriguing and real stories. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I continue to see myself telling stories, but I want to do it in a far more, well, I'm much more interested in educating the electorate. You know, my interests are actually, I mean, while it's wonderful to work on Best Funeral Ever and Biggest Loser and Ink Master and all of these, you know, interesting subculture shows, I'm interested in creating content that that's going to educate. So I'm still figuring out how to do that exactly, but that's sort of what I'm manifesting next.
I can totally, I have so many, so many visions going from like the best funeral ever and then putting mm-hmm. that into politics.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not even necessarily for political reasons, but just I feel like, I mean, I guess it is to a certain degree. I feel like a healthy democracy is dependent upon an educated electorate. Mm-hmm. And so that's, but just about the issues that affect us all and not, you know, with a political slant either way, but just this is what we're experiencing socially. Yeah. Absolutely. And can we all work towards a better future for all of us?
Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking out for new stuff coming from you as you shape it. And thank you so much for being here.
It's been
today.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I learned so much today. I'm definitely going to quote some things, definitely. And look for Best Funeral Ever on TLC in September.
That's right. Look for the ads.
Awesome. And if you have any questions after the show, email me at anna@sexybodysassysoul.com. You can always find us on Facebook at sexybodysassysoul.com. And what I'm going to be starting doing for you guys, if you wanted to take notes of any of the gems that Marina shared, I'm actually going to be releasing a PDF script of just the gems our guests share. Go to my website at www.sexybodysassysoul.com and opt into my communities to get that one. Once a week. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week with my friend who will be sharing. She ran away from corporate and she'll be sharing her story with us. So come back next week to listen to Wendy Bauerschmidt. Stay sexy and sassy.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a female entrepreneur ready to break through? Join us at Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, where women are empowered to ask for and receive what they truly want in love, life, and business. Tune in Thursdays at noon Eastern Time to learn tips and juicy secrets from inspiring women and men who dare to define their success. Get inspired, stay motivated, and define your version of joy and success with Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, every Thursday at noon New York Time on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.